ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। खमन खमयते खमयर यदर्थम इह पुरुषा सवाई देहस्तु पारक्यो भंगुरो यत्युपायति च। A living entity desires comfort for his body and makes many plans for this purpose. But actually, the body is the property of others. Indeed, the perishable body embraces the living entity and then leaves him aside. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Everyone desires comfort for his body and tries to make a suitable situation for this purpose, forgetting that the body is meant to be eaten by dogs, jackals, or moths, and thus turned into useless stool, ashes, or earth. The living entity wastes his time in a futile attempt to gain material possessions for the comfort of one body after another. Hare Krishna. I am very grateful, very honored to have this opportunity to share the wisdom of Srila Prabhupada and our most beloved previous acharyas in this very auspicious celebration of the 50th year of the establishment of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Today, we are reading from Canto 7, Chapter 7, entitled What Prahlad Learned in the Womb, Text 43. A living entity desires comfort for his body and makes many plans for this purpose. But actually, the body is the property of others. Indeed, the perishable body embraces the living entity and then leaves him aside. Mahajano yena katha sapanta. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu proclaimed that the only means of attaining life's true perfection, prema bhakti, is to follow in the footsteps of the Mahajans, the great souls. Prahlad Maharaj is specifically one of the 12 original Mahajans. Not only did he live and speak these teachings, but he was willing to endure the greatest possible risks to share them with others. Not only with the whole world through the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, his classmate friends, but even to Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu considered Prahlad his worst enemy. although he was his own son. Hiranyakashipu directly insulted Prahlad in every possible way, declaring him to be his worst enemy, one who must be destroyed. And he tried to destroy Prahlad in every possible way. Bajahude manasri nandanandana abhay charanaravindare. But Prahlad was fearless. Whether he was being thrown in pits of venomous snakes, if you or I even see one venomous snake a distance away, we may feel some fear. When it raises, cobra raises its hood, rises high and looks you right in the eyes. Be honest with yourself. Will you be afraid? There were hundreds of venomous snakes in a pit, and Prahlad was thrown right on top of them. But he had no fear. He was always immersed in remembering Krishna. Maro birako bijo ichatoha nityadasa pratituha adhikar. Bhaktivinoda Thakur teaches us the mood of a true devotee. My Lord, if you like, you can kill me. If you like, you can protect me. You have every right to deal with me in any way you please, because I am your eternal servant. Jivera Swarupoi Krishnete Nityadas. This is the foundational principle of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, that we are the eternal servants of Krishna. The body is perishable. It is subjected to birth, old age, disease, and inevitable death. Padam padam yadvi padam natesham. And in this world, where for everyone, in every situation within this material creation, there is danger at every step. We do not know. Adi atmaka, adi daivaka, adi bhautika. These threefold miseries are impending. They are inevitable. Whoever you are, wherever you're born, whatever you have, whatever you can do, dukalaya mashashvatam. We have to suffer because everything's temporary. So if we're on the bodily concept of life, then fear is the prominent emotion that we live with. So much of what people are giving their life and time to, directly or indirectly, has its root in fear of suffering and death. But Krishna tells in Gita, Nahanyate Hanyamane Sadide, that for the soul there is no death. Najayate Mriyate Vakadachat. It is unborn, undying, immortal. That is who we are. When we understand the eternal nature of the soul, or when that realizing the soul becomes our goal in life, then the superficial transformations of material energy that affect our body no longer have such prominence. It really doesn't matter so much. What we become so frustrated by, what causes us lust and greed and envy and anger and so much arrogance, what causes us to fight, to compete in a mundane way. They're all superficial, empty, things that really have no value for the soul. The only thing that has any value for the eternal soul is those things that help us to come closer to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada explained in a very unique context where there was a controversy about certain findings of material scientists and certain explanations of the Vedic scriptures. And Srila Prabhupada brought it to such an essential understanding that whoever we are, we can easily understand. He said, the real problems of life is not all these technical debates that we're having. The real problems of life, would everyone hear? Yeah. This is one of the problems of life. But it's not a problem. Sometimes I think that the controllers of sound system are representatives of the Yamadutas. But Srila Prabhupada quotes that the real problems of life are janma mrityu jara vyadi dukkha doshana darshanam. Birth, old age, disease, and death. And whatever explanations and everything else that people may be having, the real question is, how does it help us solve the problem of birth, old age, disease, and death? Atato brahma jigyasa. When we begin to ask this question, then the actual purpose of human life begins. Srila Prabhupada, when he first met his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, was told in the year 1922, you are an intelligent young man, you should take this message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the English language all over the world. Srila Prabhupada expressed his concerns. Concerns that many devotees, even today, are involved in. Politics. Political concerns. But our political concerns are insignificant compared to at that time in India, where India was completely subjugated and exploited by the British. And Mohandas Gandhi, Subhash Chandra Bose, and others were fighting and risking their lives to give freedom, independence to the country. And millions of people were joining them. This seemed to be the most intelligent, the most vital of all things to somehow or other get our freedom. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati explained, real freedom is no more birth, old age, disease, and death. Political parties will come and they will go and they will change endlessly. Who is in charge of a country? Who is in charge of a nation in human history? It's always changing. But there's an eternal truth that we are the eternal soul. We are all part of Krishna. That is the essence of the purpose of life. To forget our eternal nature is the root cause of all problems.
To identify with this temporary, fleeting body and mind is the cause of all conflict, of all selfishness, of all exploitation, pollution, and suffering. Krishna consciousness, forgetfulness of that, is the only true problem of the world. And Krishna consciousness, remembering that, is the only true solution. He spoke so strongly, with logic, citing scriptures. Abhay Charan, our Srila Prabhupada, was convinced. And he made this mission on that day his very life and soul. He left Mumbai about 50 years ago with nothing except some boxes of books, Srimad Bhagavatams, and a ticket on a cargo ship. And after sailing for so many days on the Atlantic Ocean at the Boston Harbor, he wrote his prayers, which we call Markine Bhagavad Dharma. And there he prays to Krishna that you are sending me to this country, which is so much covered by the modes of passion and ignorance. People are so much identifying with this material bodies. I am not competent to deliver your message unless you make them understand, unless you empower me to speak in such a way that will change their lives. In 1966, after so much historical, incredible struggle, but more than his struggle, his compassion, his dedication, his total humility to the mercy of the Lord. Because when we speak about Srila Prabhupada's struggle, it's not the struggle that's important. Because so many people struggle in this world. So many people have heart attacks in this world and strokes in this world. So many people are in poverty and don't have anyone to help them. So struggling in and of itself is nothing glorious. But we remember Srila Prabhupada's struggles because Krishna arranged that to highlight his devotion, his absolute one-pointed surrender, Sharanagati, to the will of his Guru Maharaj. 1922-1966, he got this message 44 years before. And just before Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada departed from this physical world, in a letter, he reconfirmed the same instruction. For 44 years, Srila Prabhupada was cultivating and planning an instruction that was impossible, that no one has ever done in history. His devotion, his dedication to his guru, and his genuine compassion to all beings, even under the most difficult circumstances, Srila Prabhupada simply would never give up. He never gave up hope. He never gave up his enthusiasm. and he inspired us to follow in his footsteps. 50 years ago, Srila Prabhupada established the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Please raise your hands if you have been to 26 Second Avenue. They have remodeled it, they have renovated it, they have made it into a very, very luxurious place compared to when Prabhupada was there. Tiny little storefront. And now the neighborhood is quite affluent, comparatively. In those days, the Lower East Side, that particular part of Manhattan Island in New York City, it was a place of alcoholics, drug addicts, homeless people, poverty, a lot of crime. It was a rundown storefront that fit about 40 or 50 people when it was crammed in a rundown neighborhood. But Srila Prabhupada saw that as such a wonderful blessing. And shortly after moving in there, he established the incorporation of ISKCON. And devotees, they were all very new people. The senior most devotees at that time were some of them. If you look at the people on the charter, some of them were practicing Krishna consciousness at the most for a couple months. And they were quite astounded when they saw that the International Society for Krishna Consciousness has centers all over the world. And they were even more astounded. Just the idea that Srila Prabhupada put this word international society. There was only a few people. Many of them were still taking drugs. Many of them were not following regulative principles. Many of them just liked prasad a little and liked to have kirtans with Swamiji. International society. Srila Prabhupada understood that this is what his Guru Maharaj wanted. Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted the holy name of Krishna to be chanted, to transform people's hearts and lives in every town and village throughout the world. And Srila Prabhupada understood by his guru's order that he was being called to do it. One time a disciple, His Holiness Vishnu Jana Swami Maharaj, asked Srila Prabhupada that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda Prabhu, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they were so powerful. Why didn't they spread the holy name of Krishna throughout the entire world in their lifetimes, in every town and village? Srila Prabhupada smiled. He said, it is their mercy. They saved that service for me. They could have done it. They would have done it. That was his humility. Today, what unifies ISKCON in such a special and intimate way, even in the reality of so many of our differences, we have different nationalities, we have different castes, we have different sexes, we have different income brackets, some are rich, some are poor, we have different gurus, diksha gurus and shiksha gurus, we have different temples, so many differences. We have different projects. Some are pujaris, some are gurukul teachers, some are administrators and managers, some are book distributors, some are doing Harinam Sankirtan in the streets, some are in farms, some are in the congregation working and trying to help. So many differences. So many reasons, if we're on the bodily concept of life, that we can fight. Even so many interpretations and ideas of how to implement Prabhupada's teachings. Srila Prabhupada's Siddhanta, his essential teachings, should never be compromised. They are absolute. But how we particularly spread these teachings throughout the world, even in Prabhupada's time, there were so many different people who had so many different natures and so many different ideas. And Prabhupada empowered all of them. Unity and diversity. Unless we understand our unity, then we can easily lose the principle of Vaishnava etiquette due to our diversity. What brings us unity despite all our differences is we are all trying to render service to Srila Prabhupada, who is the founder Acharya of ISKCON. And as our movement grows in time, in temples, in numbers of devotees, this principle becomes more and more important, not only to understand, but to deeply appreciate. It's a very important part of our sadhana and our surrender. Srila Prabhupada is like, being the founder Acharya of ISKCON is like the string in a garland. There may be so many different flowers of different colors, of different shapes, of different fragrances, but it's all beautiful when they're bound together on the string. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wove ecstatic love of Krishna, the holy name of Krishna, he wove in the string of ecstatic love of Krishna and garlanded the whole world. So similarly, recognizing Srila Prabhupada's mission and recognizing Prabhupada as founder Acharya and being the servant of his servant of his servant, it is the very basis of how our society will be preserved and will expand. This year is the 50th anniversary of when Srila Prabhupada became the founder Acharya of ISKCON. 50 years ago, 1966, Srila Prabhupada founded ISKCON, and in founding ISKCON became the Acharya of ISKCON. Remembering this day, and its very, very humble beginnings, and how Srila Prabhupada had a vision and empowered his devotees with the vision, is actually our life and soul. Yesterday we celebrated Rath Yatra. From the very beginning of ISKCON, hardly months later, in 1967, in San Francisco, Her Grace Malati Devi found
a little form made of wood, something she never saw before. It was only about 3 inches high, maybe 4. And it said, made in India. So because she loved Prabhupada so much, she loved everything from India. And she brought it home. And her husband, Shyam Sundar Prabhu, was so fascinated by this, made in India. He showed it to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada offered his obeisances and prayers. He asked to get the other two, and Malati Devi got them. It was Jagannath Baladev and Subhadra, who were just in a little store, piled up in baskets. Hundreds of Jagannaths, Balarams, and Subhadras. They didn't know what it was, but Srila Prabhupada had such a vision. He said to Shyam Sundar, that you are a carpenter. Can you carve just like this? And Srila Prabhupada put his hand up, a couple feet from the ground. Shyam Sundar Prabhu took a tape measure and measured from the floor to Prabhupada's hand. And he went and got some wood, and he carved Baladev, Subhadra, and Jagannath. Just about 6-7 months after the founding of ISKCON. And Srila Prabhupada told him they should have a Rath Yatra. And Srila Prabhupada told him how to make a chariot. But after he left San Francisco, he knew it would be difficult to make it in time. But Srila Prabhupada was so insistent this Rath Yatra should take place. He said, you can put the deities on the back of a pickup, a truck. And the first Rath Yatra outside of Jagannath Puri in the history of the world was in San Francisco on a little pickup truck. It was an old pickup truck too. Devotees decorated it and drove down through the Haight-Ashbury district of San Francisco to the Golden Gate Park. And they had kirtan. They distributed prasad. And Srila Prabhupada was so pleased. Then he personally drew and made dimensions of an incredible royal chariot for Jagannath for the next year. And Shyam Sundar Prabhu, with the help of Jayananda Prabhu, worked practically day and night for months to build that chariot. It was glorious. Srila Prabhupada named San Francisco New Jagannath Puri. But there's another interesting story. Just about a year later, Srila Prabhupada sent them to London. Malati Devi, Shyam Sundar Prabhu, Yamuna Devi, Gurudas Prabhu, Mukunda Maharaj, and Janaki Devi, and Saraswati. 6 adults, 1 baby. And they were living in a little place outside of London. And they just got a building on Berry Place near the British Museum. But it needed immense reconstruction. Srila Prabhupada wrote letters, because he was not there. For a year, he was writing letters to them while they were struggling in London. And he wrote, I want Rath Yatra in London. He didn't just request them. He ordered them very strongly. I want this Ratha Yatra in London at this date.
Not only that, he said, I want the temple to be ready. It needed months of renovation. And Srila Prabhupada wanted an enormous chariot for Jagannath. Shyamasundara Prabhu and his little team of British new devotees that were just coming, they would work all day long trying to build this giant chariot for Jagannath. Far bigger than San Francisco. They would work all day, and then they were outside of London. They would drive about an hour or so in this little pickup truck they had and go to Berry Place and work all night long trying to renovate the temple for Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was pushing for both. Now, weeks went, months went, all day working on the chariot, all night trying to build the temple. In Shyamasundara Prabhu's book that's coming out, which he entitled Chasing Rhinos with the Swami, he goes into incredible detail about what had to be done. I'll just give you a little sample. In this house that they got in the middle of London, downtown, they had to remove the ceiling to make the temple two stories instead of one. And they had to get massive beams, I-beams made out of steel with cranes coming down the main streets of London to put them in. And they had no machinery inside. They had to use a little car jack to lift the beam a few inches, then put some wood under it, and then lift it. It took them days just to get one beam to the ceiling. And meanwhile, cranes are coming in the early morning, and they had to knock out the windows to get the crane to get in. And they had no permits in downtown London. Such major construction. And destroying the other ceiling was massive noise and drills and banging, and the neighbors were upset. Can you imagine? No permits. Months of work like that. And that was at night, all night, and the day building the chariot. Srila Prabhupada was so insistent for this Ratha Yatra. He considered these Ratha Yatras so important, even at this time, 1968, 69. And finally, the day came. And everyone was working. Yamuna Devi was, and Janaki and Malati Devi were making these incredible, ornate, cloth, embroidered coverings for the whole dome of the chariot. No one had ever seen anything like this in the West. And finally, it was built. But I'm just going to share one little story which illustrates how Srila Prabhupada established our movement. Are you all awake? It's an important story. Mukunda Goswami Maharaj, who was then Mukunda Das and Guru Das, spent months trying to get permits for downtown London in the 1960s for a Ratha Yatra. Police blocking the roads. And these are busy roads. But in order to begin the parade, they had to start at exact time, because that's when the police were going to be there. Everything had to be meticulously. Punctual. But here's the problem. Where he made the chariot was in a little backyard, 12 miles from the site where the Ratha Yatra had to begin. How to get the chariot there? You can't do it during traffic, because it was huge. So they had to start like around midnight, the night before. And just a few devotees, that's all they had. They couldn't pull it through the streets like a Ratha Yatra. He had his pickup truck pulling it, but it was only a fraction of the power needed. So they had all these devotees pushing and pulling, and his truck was going, trying to get it moving. And most of the places were hills. They were going up the hill with this chariot, and his pickup was going, and the people were pushing and pushing, and it was going backwards. And it was early morning, still dark. And the only hope they had is for people who were just London people walking down the streets. They had to get them to try to help. And people were really, they never saw anything like this. This was really a culture shock, seeing this unbelievable wooden chariot with gigantic 6-foot-high wheels. And all these people with shaved heads and dhotis and tilaks are pushing and pushing and struggling, and this old truck is a little tiny truck, pulling and pulling, and people help push for a few minutes and then they left. 12 miles. It's almost like a Govardhan Parikrama. They had to push this truck and get it right on time. And he goes into so many details of the struggles. It almost seemed hopeless at so many times. And he had to get it there before the traffic. Otherwise, the police would have just stopped everything, because they only had permits on the roads for the parade, which was much later. Will there ever be such a parade? That was the challenge. It was actually impossible and hopeless, but they just had total faith that Srila Prabhupada wants it, so it will be done. We just have to keep trying. And finally, they got, I think it was somewhere around Hyde Park's corner where they were going to begin, and they actually got it there. But then they had to build the dome right there on the spot, because through the streets there were so many wires and the roads and everything. They had the chariot, and the dome was just stacked up on the rest of the chariot in one piece. And then they had to put it up, and then they had to put the beautiful cloths that the ladies made. And it was done right on time. Shyamasundar Prabhu was so exhausted, trying to get it done and trying to get it there. He practically did not sleep for weeks. He was totally exhausted. After he assembled the chariot, he just went somewhere and went to sleep, kind of like Muchakunda. So he was gone. And now, London, they became so popular in London that they had the youth underground counterculture newspaper became their very good friends, so they were advertising in every issue about this Ratha Yatra, and it really sounded fascinating. And hundreds of people from the counterculture, British people, and hundreds of Indian Indians, they weren't even a congregation then. They just heard about it, and they came, and so many other British people. There were thousands of people that came. It was glorious. Then they started pulling the chariot, And they were pulling for just a couple blocks and
the axle holding the wheels broke. The entire chariot collapsed and fell on the ground. Couldn't be moved. And to try to fix it was impossible.
Jagannath's chariot was just laying there on the ground. And the police, you saw how yesterday the police want you to keep moving? Well, downtown London, at least India, you know, they understand what Rath Yatra is. And we've been having it for so many years. So all the bobbies and the police were saying, keep moving, keep moving, keep moving. But right in the middle of the street, the chariot was broken, could not be fixed, and it was enormous, it was gigantic. What are they going to do? And the police were going, keep going, move, move. According to Shamsundar Prabhu, it became the biggest traffic jam in London's history. So many cars, and they were honking and honking, and nobody could go anywhere because the road was blocked by this giant broken chariot. And the police were saying, they were really passionate, get rid of this thing. And the devotees, they had to completely tear that chariot apart to get it off the street. Otherwise, you know, they were going to be banned from England for so many reasons, for causing so much trouble. They were doing the Rath Yatra for nice public relations. This was really a nightmare. So all the devotees who were there, they just, the Yamuna Devi, Malati Devi, Janaki Devi, and some other ladies, they just tore down the cloth that was carrying Jagannath and made like little cloth palanquins. And they put the deities in there, and they had a procession with Jagannath, Balaram, and Subhadra in those cloths being carried by all the people and having kirtan. And they were trying to make it look like this is what we're supposed to be doing. And actually, some people thought like that. But most people saw that it was a total disaster. But these devotees are really very spontaneously trying to make things all right. So they wanted to, they just kept the people who had to destroy the chariot and break it in little pieces and put it on the pickup trucks and take it away as soon as possible. Meanwhile, all the crowds of all the people were just carrying Jagannath, Balaram, and Subhadra in these little cloths, you know, just devotees carrying with their hands and other people helping and having their kirtan to Trafalgar Square. And meanwhile, the other devotees with the police screaming at them were just chopping and sawing and just completely reducing the chariot into little pieces that could never be brought together again and putting it in the truck. Months and months of hard work and sacrifice and surrender, and it was a disaster. And somehow or other, they just moved it and threw it all out. There's a beautiful letter Srila Prabhupada wrote to them after he got the news of the first Rath Yatra in London. Is London so important? It was London that ruled over India for almost two centuries. Srila Prabhupada was educated in British schools. For Srila Prabhupada, there are letters where Srila Prabhupada also, when he was encouraging the devotees in London, he said, London is the most important city in the world. he said about New York also.
But I think we know he really meant Mumbai.
Because he built the most beautiful, biggest temple and the most wonderful temple, Radharas Bihari Temple, here and only here. So, for Srila Prabhupada, the pride of ISKCON, the pride of the Sampradaya of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his Guru Maharaj sent his topmost devotees at the time to London to establish his movement. So for Prabhupada, he was very strong. We must have this Rath Yatra in London. And he was constantly before, he was asking, so how is it going? You will have this, you must have this. And they built the chariot and he wanted it grand and glorious. And then he got the letter of the report of what happened. Srila Prabhupada wrote a reply to them from another country, in another continent. He wrote, when I heard about Jagannath's chariot collapsing in the streets of London, my heart broke. I was feeling so sad. But now I'm feeling that it was good. It was Krishna's mercy. Because of the chariot falling like that, the Indian community and the people of London felt so much sympathy for all of you. They opened their hearts to all of you. And he was explaining what a good thing it was. And how they should not become discouraged because it was a great success. He encouraged them. And Shyamasundara Prabhu in his book, could you imagine, he's the one who built it. When he heard the news, they woke him up from his sound sleep and told him that the chariot's collapsed. We have to dismantle it and throw it away. He felt so ashamed, so guilty. But Srila Prabhupada wrote back to him. He said, this was Krishna's arrangement. Now everyone has such sympathy for the Hare Krishna movement. It was a great success. And a couple years later, in 1972, Srila Prabhupada was in London for the Rath Yatra, where they learned their lessons about how to construct the chariot. And Srila Prabhupada, even though he was actually very ill, his health was not good at the time, Srila Prabhupada wanted to encourage the devotees. 1972 means Srila Prabhupada was about 75 years old. The entire procession, he ecstatically danced with the devotees. It was inconceivable, it was incredible. It was absolutely wonderful. It was such a victory. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada writes, in 1973, I believe he says, in Trafalgar Square, in the newspaper, The Guardian of London, it says that the Hare Krishna chariot rivals the Nelson Column. The Nelson Column, Prabhupada explains, is a very, very high structure in honor of Lord Nelson. And he said, just like in Puri, the people were thinking the chariot was compared to Mount Sumeru. In London, they were saying it was comparable to
the Nelson column. Prabhupada was so proud of that Ratha Yatra. And from Ratha Yatras like that, Srila Prabhupada saw such incredible hope. From that little broken down pickup truck that had the first Ratha Yatra in San Francisco, to the apparently disastrous breakdown of the massive chariot in London, Srila Prabhupada always kept the devotees positive, encouraged, enthusiastic, because that's the way he was. And as our founder Acharya, he not only lived by that principle of surrendering to Krishna at every moment and seeing the great opportunities to spread this movement at every moment, whatever the results may be, he encouraged his devotees to follow in his footsteps. And the unity of the devotees in these situations was truly the way they showed their love for Srila Prabhupada. When there was difficulties, they all came together to give their hearts, their souls, their bodies, and their minds, and their words for Srila Prabhupada, for Shishi Radharas Bihari. Because we are not these bodies. We are the eternal soul. And actually, Srila Prabhupada encouraged us, enthused us, and instructed us how we could live in this spiritual world when we have this conscious of Sharanagati, of surrender. These beautiful festivals are not only glorious opportunities for the whole public to get Lord Jagannath's mercy, to hear the holy names and hear Harikatha and taste Krishna Prasad, to receive transcendental literature, but also they're glorious opportunities for devotees to come together, to do what individually we cannot do. It's only possible through our unity. Coming here this morning with His Grace Devaki Nandan Prabhu and His Grace Brajahari Prabhu, it was being discussed how all the four temples of Mumbai, Radharas Bihari Temple, the mother of all temples in Mumbai, Radha Gopinath Temple, Radha Giridhari Temple, Radha Madan Mohan Temple, Bhaktivedanta Hospital and all of the Bhaktivedanta School, all the different projects in Mumbai, all the congregations and the brahmacharis and the sannyasis from all the different temples, united to do something wonderful for Srila Prabhupada. Something that individually we cannot do this way. And this type of cooperation and unity for the purpose of preserving and expanding the pure message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through these various projects is truly the way we can honor Srila Prabhupada and celebrate the 50th anniversary of his becoming the founder Acharya of ISKCON. Thank you very much.